Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 10th day of June 2023. Welcome also to those listening to the recording of the service, those joining us here live in the room on the phone or here in person. Glad to have each one of you in fellowship with us today. Praise God for his merciful kindness. Praise him from whom all blessings flow. And praise him for such a wonderful opportunity to come from different parts of the world all together at this very time. And may he bless us with a greater understanding of his word of inspiration today, is my prayer. Our opening song is Give Me the Bible. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger all these worlds below. That lamp of safety o'er the globe shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for giving us thy precious word and protecting it through all of these millennia, that we may be able to have it as our own precious possession. Guide us indeed through thy word of truth on the narrow way that ends in eternal life. Thank you so much for doing so. Well, dear ones, please join with me in opening prayer. Father, we thank you so very much for all thy many and wonderful blessings, for the manifestation of thy love and protection in so many myriad of ways. Thank you for enabling us to all come together for just such a time as this, as we dig into thy word of inspiration to learn of Thus Saith the Lord. We pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests with each one of us today. Savior, dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. Dear Spirit, please open our understanding that we might indeed see wondrous things out of the word of truth today. Quicken our understanding. Give us increased ability to see the spiritual lessons that are taught and to learn more than we did before today. And please let our memory be retentive, that we may not forget what you have led us to understand, but may dwell upon these themes in our personal studies so that they may become part of us. And when individuals ask us why we believe this way, we can say, because I've read it in thy word, and not say, because I heard someone else tell me. Help us indeed to be students of thy word, of the Bible. And thank you, Spirit, for leading and guiding us into all truth. Dear Savior, as the great physician that you are, I pray that you will take the case of all of thy people that are hungering and thirsting to want to know, reveal that to them, satisfy their hunger, at least for today. We pray also for those that are afflicted or are suffering, are sorrowing, are tempted. Please draw close to them. Send thy Spirit, and Spirit comfort these individuals. Deliver them, dear Savior, from the sickness or disease or affliction or whatever it may be in thy perfect timing. Help them to learn the lessons that you want them to learn through these experiences, and draw them ever closer to thee and farther up the straight, narrow path, that they may be closer to heaven through these experiences than they were before without them. Thank you so much for being the God of our salvation, the beginner and the finisher of our faith. And please help us to draw closer to thee in knowledge, in life, and in practice, that we might reveal ourselves to be children of the Most High, children of the day, children of righteousness, of love, and give you more glory. Thank you that you're the same God today as you were thousands of years ago. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thank you for thy great love for us, that you died that we might live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, praise God, dear ones. And we're starting a new series today. This is on the character of God. And for those that have visited our website to find out what the topic is going to be today, and you saw last week's topic, it's because we're in the process of transferring our website from one host to another. And until that is done, I cannot access the website to make changes. So it's in the process of occurring. And thank you for your patience. Thank you also for your prayers, because the devil has been doing what he can to try and prevent this. But God is greater. So thank you so much, dear ones, for your patience and your prayers. This series is on the character of God. And when the children of Israel had come to Mount Sinai, and God had declared his Ten Commandment covenant with them, and they had decided that they were going to keep God's covenant, bind themselves to him as his people, and God then bound himself to them as their God. We know that the God of Israel was the Lord God Michael at this time. And after the children of Israel agreed and pledged themselves to keep this Ten Commandment covenant, and God had pledged himself to be their God, then Michael did something that was so completely amazing and astounding that it stands alone in recorded history. Nowhere is it recorded in any of the sacred writings of any culture that any of the pagan deities ever did what the Lord God Michael was now going to do for his people. And we're going to discover exactly what the Lord God did that was so amazing. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1981.htm. So again, lightministries.com/ID1981.htm. After their covenant contract and pledging agreement had been ratified and binding between the Lord God Michael and his people Israel, Michael asked Moses, Moses' brother Aaron, as well as Aaron's two sons, and 70 of the elders of Israel to come up unto the Lord apart from the rest of the camp of the Israelites. You can find this in Exodus 24, verses 1 to 9. And one of the reasons for this special private meeting was because the Israelites had not seen the Lord God himself speaking to them. They had only heard his great voice coming out of the weighty, devouring fire there on Mount Sinai. And so to prevent them from believing that the Lord God himself was just fire and not an actual divine being with a form and a shape, Michael was going to reveal himself to all of these 74 leaders of the Israelites at the same time, not just to Moses, but to all of these leaders at the same time. And once these leaders had come apart, then the Lord God Michael appeared unto them all, and they saw the God of Israel. This is Exodus 24, verse 10. Now, most of the form of Michael and features were not clearly revealed or distinguishable to their sight. Yet they were able to clearly make out his feet, and also saw beneath his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone that was clear like the blue sky of the body of heaven. Again, that's verse 10. But even though they didn't clearly see all of the personal form or divine features of the Lord God Michael, they all knew that they saw God, that he was not fire itself, but was an actual living being, and they were still alive and able to eat and drink afterwards. That's verse 11. This had never been done before by any god. None of the pagan gods had ever revealed themselves because they're not real. But the Lord God Michael is real. And he revealed himself to his people. But it wasn't just the divine features of the feet that the Lord God Michael ever revealed to any of his servants. If you look at quote number two. While still before Mount Sinai, Moses asked the Lord God Michael if he could see more of him, saying, "If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee." And he also said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." That's Exodus 33, verse 13 and 18. Now, this was not a presumptuous request on Moses' part, or he would have been instantly destroyed. And neither was Moses just curious what the other form and feature of the Lord God looked like above his feet. The Hebrew word for way that's used here, show me now thy way, is derek, D-E-R-E-K. And this word translates and means a course of life or mode of action. That's Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 1870. The Hebrew word for know, that I may know thee, is yada. And in this context, yada translates and means to know by recognition, to comprehend, to discern, to discover, to perceive, to understand. And this was Strong's word number 3045. The Hebrew word for glory, show me thy glory, is kabod, K-A-B-O-W-D. And this word translates and means splendor, glory, honor. And that's Strong's word number 3519. So Moses wanted God to show him his good and splendorous way, his course of life and action, so that Moses could discover, discern, perceive, understand, and comprehend what God was like in character. And thus Moses would be able to recognize the glory and honorableness of the Lord God himself. Moses still had a great work ahead of him in following God's command to bring up this people into the promised land. And with some 2 to 6 million Israelites all watching Moses in every move he made, Moses wanted to make sure that he gave glory and honor to the Lord God and did not want to make any mistakes and to misrepresent God in character and thus dishonor him. So if Moses could gain this extra knowledge of the true character of the Lord God Michael himself, then he'd be able to more completely pattern his own life after the divine model of the character of his Lord God. And thus Moses would be able to help the Israelites know more about their Creator God. And Moses also would be able, with the Lord's continued help, to successfully carry out his mission work and bring the people into the promised land. So this request of Moses was not presumptuous. It was something that Moses recognized he needed in order to help him carry out his responsibilities, his commission, his work. Now, if you look at quote number 3, as Moses was close to the Lord God Michael in work and partnership, to the point that the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, which is Exodus 33:11. And since Moses still had a great work ahead of him to accomplish and was desirous of not misrepresenting his Lord God, but to successfully carry out his remaining work, Michael graciously granted Moses' request. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. This is Exodus 33:19. Now the Hebrew word for goodness that's used here is tub, T-U-W-B. And this word translates and means goodness, beauty. I have Strong's word number 2890. So Michael was going to allow Moses to see his goodness, his beauty, and to hear his name. But granting Moses' request was not going to be as easy as it might seem. Michael informed Moses that thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. This was Exodus 33:20. So even though Moses was so closely connected in co-partnership with the Lord God himself that he could directly be spoken to, yet Moses was still of a fallen, sinful nature. And so Moses was unable to physically endure the full splendor and glory of the Lord God Michael's divine, radiant face. But instead of using this problem as an excuse for denying Moses' request, Michael mercifully worked out a solution so that Moses could indeed know more about the way of the Lord and could then know God more fully and could see God's glory. Michael said to Moses in Exodus 33:21-23, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So Michael mercifully worked out a way where Moses could still see his glory without dying. It's quite amazing. Michael then told Moses that he would reveal himself to him early the next day, and that Moses was to come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai and present thyself there to me in the top of the rock by himself. No one else was to be with Moses. And that's Exodus 34:2. And can you imagine what thoughts were going through the mind of Moses during that night? Waiting for the morning to come, you know. I'm sure Moses had feelings of excitement that were sort of tempered with apprehension, and he probably could not sleep at all. I mean, just the thought that the mighty Lord God of all the earth had condescended to grant his request so that Moses could see and know more about the God of Israel. And you can also imagine that as soon as it began to dawn in the morning, Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, which is Exodus 34:4. And as soon as he reached the top of the mount, Moses presented himself standing on that rock and then waited to see what the Lord would do next. And if we look at quote number 4. The mighty Lord God Michael then descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Exodus 34:5. Michael then gently picked up Moses with his divine hand and placed him in the cleft of the rock and covered his sight with his divine hand. Then, as the Lord, his glory and his goodness or beauty passed by before him, Moses heard the Lord God proclaim the name of the Lord. And this is what he heard. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. That's Exodus 34 verses 6 to 7. Michael then removed his divine hand so that Moses could see the divine features and form of his head, shoulders, back, hips, legs, and feet as the Lord God continued walking past him. Quite amazing, dear ones. So even though Moses was able to see the back of the Lord God Michael as he passed by, yet the name that he heard Michael proclaim and the glory that he saw pass by were all inseparably connected with the goodness or the beauty of God's character. And exactly what was the type of character that the Lord God Michael revealed to Moses? There were 9 different aspects of character. If you look at quote number 5, the first aspect of character is that the Lord God is merciful. The Hebrew word for merciful that's used in this text is rachum, R-A-C-H-U-W-M. And this word translates and means full of compassion, mercy. That's Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 7349. This word for merciful is derived from the Hebrew word racham, R-A-C-H-A-M. And this translates and means to fondle, to love, to have pity. That's Strong's word number 7355. So this reveals that the compassion of the Lord God to us, it is not manifested from a motive of grudgingly extending mercy towards troublesome inferiors because they don't know any better. It's not that way. Nor is this mercy manifested from a selfish motive of desiring to gain advantages over us because of our plight. And nor is God's mercy devoid of any feeling at all. But the Lord God Michael manifests mercy towards us because he loves us and he longs to fondle or tenderly hold and comfort us in his strong arms. So his heart is touched with pity by seeing his fallen creation, by seeing you and me having to go through all the problems and adversities of a life brought about because of sin. And then having to live in a world under the control of Lucifer. Michael is touched with pity for our plight. So as love seeketh not her own, which is what we're told in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, then it is only out of a heart full of tender compassion and mercy that the Lord God Michael lovingly reaches out to try and rescue all that he can from remaining bound to sin, from being under the control of Lucifer, and then from receiving destruction in the end. It's out of love and concern for you and me that moves Michael to be merciful towards us. So that's the first characteristic. The second characteristic is that the Lord God Michael is gracious. If you look at quote number 6. The Hebrew word for gracious used here is chanun, chanunnuwn. And this word translates and means gracious. That's Strong's word number 2587. Now this word chanun is derived from the Hebrew word chanan, chanan. And this word translates and means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, to favor, to bestow, to implore, or move to favor by petition, to entreat, to make supplication. So as Michael is our God and creator, he is obviously greater in power and authority than any or all of his creation combined. And even though this is true, Michael willingly bends and stoops down to favor us with his blessings. He bestows upon us his love and merciful kindness. And as love vaunteth not itself, which is 1 Corinthians 13, 4. So the Lord God Michael reveals his love to us, not by flaunting his exalted divine dignity in our face, and then refuse to have anything more to do with us because we're inferior. But Michael reveals his love to us, even though he is our superior. As love also is not puffed up, that's 1 Corinthians 13, 4, then neither does Michael take the position that once he created us, then we're now all on our own and must deal with our own choices and suffer our own consequences because of our evil actions without any hope of divine help. But he graciously helps us. And even though humanity chose to disobey God and to follow Lucifer, yet the Lord God Michael did not abandon us. We abandon him, but he doesn't abandon us. And this is because Michael knew what torture and misery we would all have to endure under the absolute control of Lucifer. Michael also knew that once sin was chosen, then we would all need divine help more than ever in order to be free. So instead of leaving us to the consequences of our own choices, the mighty Lord God Michael instead humbled himself and came even closer to us in order that we might be able to know him better and to recognize that he does indeed love us. And so with this extra knowledge, we would be more willing to follow and obey him and thus obtain his help in escaping from sin and from the control of the devil. That is the meaning of being gracious. But the graciousness of the Lord God means more than just personally favoring and bestowing blessings upon inferiors. Since the Lord God Michael is lower in authority and command to the Almighty Lord God of heaven, then Michael graciously implores, he petitions, he makes supplication to the Almighty to also favor mankind and be gracious to them for Michael's sake. And yet it's not like the Father is not interested in the welfare of mankind and has to first be petitioned before he will be gracious and then favor them. But as Michael is a representative to mankind of the Almighty, then the character that we see Michael manifesting towards us is the exact same character which the Almighty has and is manifesting towards us. So as we see the loving, tender, and merciful character of the Lord God Michael, we're also seeing the exact same loving, tender, and merciful character of the Almighty being revealed to us. So that's being gracious. And you can see it's quite a lot connected with that attribute. So that was the second characteristic. The third characteristic, if you look at quote number 7, is the Lord God Michael is long-suffering. Now, there's no Hebrew word for long-suffering. It's a combination of the words long and suffering. So it's two separate words. The Hebrew word for long in this context is arak, A-R-A-K. And this word translates and means to be long, to defer, to draw out, to lengthen, to prolong. That's Strong's word number 748. The Hebrew word for suffering in this context is naka, N-A-C-A-H. And this word translates and means to accept, to suffer, to bear, to hold up, to spare. So this reveals that even though humanity deserves the penalty of death because of our choice to sin, yet the Lord God Michael draws out, he lengthens and prolongs our time on this earth. He defers and he holds up the execution of this penalty and the punishment against us until a future time. And this is because the Lord is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. So you can see here that the Lord God has an earnest longing that each and one of his wayward creation can find freedom from Lucifer's dominion and can come to accept Michael as their Savior and God, and thus escape from death and destruction. And this merciful purpose allows Michael to defer punishment until everyone has had a precious chance to know more about him and has had the opportunity to investigate into this plan that was devised for their salvation. And as this realization, this understanding takes various lengths of time to finally dawn upon minds, then the mighty Lord God Michael accepts our weakness. He sees the dullness of our comprehension. And then he patiently suffers and bears with all our sins and unrighteous actions, sparing us until we finally wake up. Because Michael remembers that we are but dust. That's Psalms 103:14. Yet at the same time, Michael's not inactive. It's not like he's waiting for mankind to take the initiative here. He's waiting on his throne until we come to him. But Michael is instead working through the Holy Spirit and the heavenly angels to wake us up and to bring us to a knowledge of the truth so that we can then be saved and be able to escape from death and destruction. So Michael takes the initiative. So while the mighty Lord God winks at the time of our ignorance, yet he is calling all of us to come to repentance so that we may find salvation in him. So the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Salvation to you and me. That's 2 Peter 3:15. So this means that the foundation for the mighty Lord God being long-suffering towards you and me and patiently enduring all of our faults, all of our mistakes, all of our sins and our dullness of mind is based upon his love for us. So God is teaching us that love suffereth long. It beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endures all things. That's 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 and 7. Michael is patiently enduring and he bears with all our disobedience, all our faults, all our mistakes, and even our abuse towards him. Because he loves us and he hopes that we will finally wake up and become saved. Why else would he patiently endure all the disobedience and sin against his law? Why else would he suffer all these things from those who have ignorantly chosen another master in God if it was not for the fact that he loves us and wants us to be saved? He is long suffering. But the suffering that Michael endures for you and me and others is more than just having to patiently wait for us to finally awake to righteousness so that we sin not. We look at quote number 8. Every sin against God's law. Every time we choose to reject God's ways or we manifest unappreciation for his blessings causes Michael sorrow and sadness and at times even great internal pain, heartache. And one reason is because Michael has shown humanity over and over again exactly how much he loves them, how much he longs for them to come to him that they might be saved. So when such boundless and infinite love goes unrequited, or is unappreciated. It causes the Lord God, Michael, internal suffering that is similar to, but not of the same scale, as to what a human being feels in their heart when the one they truly love spurns them and does not return love back. But when our love is finally returned, then all such internal suffering and pain is quickly replaced with beautiful feelings of peace, contentment, and wonderful happiness, because finally our love is appreciated and responded back to. And dear ones, this same wondrous and joyful experience occurs with our Lord God Michael when we finally respond back to his love for us. In fact, Michael can't contain exactly how overjoyed he really is because of you, that one precious repenting soul coming back to him. And the scripture records what he will say in Zephaniah 3:17. He will joy over thee with singing. Can you imagine the mighty Lord God raising his voice in singing a song because he is thrilled and overjoyed that you have finally come back to him out of love? You're responding to his love for you by loving him back. It's amazing to think about, friends. He is long-suffering, waiting for you to wake up, to realize his love for you, that you may love him back. But it's not just the Lord God Michael who's overjoyed when one of their creation finally chooses to serve, obey, and to love him as their God. But there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That's Luke 15:10. And it's not just the heavenly angels that are overjoyed either. Even the Almighty Lord God joins in the happy heavenly celebration until all heaven is filled with joy over you because you've repented. Luke 15:7. All heaven is rejoicing over you, dear one. So we've so far seen how merciful, gracious, and long-suffering our compassionate God is. And next time we'll investigate into the remaining six characteristics of our loving God. How wonderful to learn more about the way, the glory, the character of our loving God. And if you thought the first three characteristics were amazing, wait till you understand more of the remaining six characteristics. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. Our closing song is How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, thy Savior God.
Now when I did, the Goddess of the Spirit sent him to God, ask it and take it in. There on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come, which shall and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim my God of great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. Oh.
Amen. How great you are, dear Father and dear Savior. Thank you for thy great love in making possible our salvation. Help us to return love back to you.
Dear brother, can I sing the first verse again? O Lord, my God, when I am of some wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sing my soul, my Savior, God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
That was beautiful, dear twin. I love to hear you sing.
Thank you. This Sabbath has moved me in such a manner that words are not sufficient to say how he makes us feel. Amen. Amen.
Amen. What a God and Savior we have, dear ones. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and we'll find out more next time. Who would like to offer closing prayer? Please feel free.
Our dear Father in heaven, thank you for voices to sing your praise, for nature, which calls forth the loving care you put into each thing you created. Thank you for making a beautiful world for us to see, showing us your beautiful character. And thank you, dear Lord, that you have a place for each one of us who follow you in heaven, where we can partake of this beauty forever. And not only that, we can be with our family who follows you forever. What joy. What a wonderful place. And thank you, dear Father, for promising this to all who believe and follow you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions, insights, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
It's wonderful that we can share this time on Sabbath with each other and with our God, just a taste of what it's going to be like forever. If you can imagine forever, that's hard to do because everything we know has a beginning and an end. But there is no beginning and end in heaven. It's there, and we will keep finding out as we are there how everything came to be, how everything is, and most of all, we see our dear Savior who made it possible for us. So thank you for sharing with me this Sabbath. Sabbath is really a wonderful day. I love every Sabbath.
I also do, my friend. It is so special. It travels throughout my whole being to know that I have been given the opportunity at this late age to reminisce and to have these wonderful moments every Sabbath. So much that this one hasn't finished as yet, and yet I'm waiting for the incoming one. That's how glorious, how wonderful, how sweet and precious it is. And what a gift given to us by our Almighty Father.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I would like to just share the scripture song for the theme of my sermon. Exodus 34, 6 through 7. Margin. The Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, and abounding in goodness, abounding in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, iniquity, transgressions and sin. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, merciful and gracious, abounding in goodness, abounding in goodness and truth. Exodus 34, 6 and 7.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad someone was impressed to put those two verses together with a tune. That's wonderful. Any other scripture songs? Any other gospel hymns? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
Elder Rob? I was just thinking something Sister John mentioned. I don't know why I spurred this thought, but heaven is just there. There's no beginning and there's no end. is just there waiting for the lost sheep to be returned. And I was thinking somehow it brought me to the 40 years of the wandering in the wilderness of the children to the promised land, and how heaven is our promised land, and this fallen world, earth, is that body of people that were wandering at that time. I don't know why I connected that, but as she said that, that came to my mind and I wanted to share.
Amen. Amen. Great thought, dear sister. Yeah, so the earth here would be our wilderness. We're going to the promised land. So in other words, the earth is not our home. Our home is in heaven. We're just passing through this wilderness, seeking a better land. And Jesus makes it all possible. So, amen.
Do you have the words to that song, In My Heart There Rings a Melody? If you know this song, please share it with me. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody with heaven's harmony. Ba-da-da. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love.
It will be an honor, dear sister. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know is there to stay. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody, in my heart there rings a melody, rings a melody of love.
Twill be my endless theme in glory, with the angels I will sing. 'Twill be a song with glorious harmony when the courts of heaven ring. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody with heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love.
This hymn has been ringing in my ears for the past 3 weeks, and I didn't even know that it was in the hymn book as 305. Just checking to see if all the words is the same.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. Dark midnight was my cry, Dark midnight was my cry. Dark midnight was my cry. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have all this world. Give me Jesus. I heard the mourners say, I've heard the mourners say, I've heard the mourners say, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. There's one that is not there. Just about the break of day, just about the break of day, just about the break of day, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. Oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus.
Amen. That was a beautiful song and singing. That was so nice. Thank you for bringing it to where I could hear it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear Sister Rose, for suggesting it, and I was able to find it on the internet. So praise God. That was beautiful. Are there any other songs or thoughts, questions, testimonies? Please feel free, dear ones.
I have a testimony. And it's happening right now. I have a denture, and this denture does give me a hard time because it's like it's plastic. It was supposed to be something that is very movable, but because of the pandemic, my dentist just decided to do something so like that I could have it. And I happened to find the other one, not the one that got lost, but the one prior to that. And then I was telling my sister, I should just put it on to see if maybe it won't hurt me. I should have never put it on. Because when I put it on, the next day it gave me an abscess. So I was just praying that the Lord would give me the opportunity to use all the tools that He has been blessing me with. And I became my own patient. And by God's grace, I was able to do all that was needed. I don't have no fever. But right now, I'm going to be asking if y'all could pray for me, because I'm going to do the second part. I should go to the dentist so they can put the needle in. But I don't really want to put anybody to put a needle in. So I'm just praying that the Lord would give me one more wisdom that I can be able to release what is inside of it. So can you please pray for me, dear brethren? Thank you.
We'll do so. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much that a way has been provided through Jesus that we can have direct access to your throne at any time of need, or even just to talk. Father, we lift our dear sister Rose up to your throne. We thank you for already knowing about her situation, already helping her to manage the abscess. And Father, we pray that a way may be opened to where the abscess may drain on its own without needing to go and have it removed by a dentist. Please continue to grant wisdom in the healing talents to our dear sister, that this situation may be remedied without the need of others intervening, but also give wisdom to know when others need to be involved. Thank you so much for doing so. Thank you, dear Savior, for being Sister Rose's great physician and for taking her case in thy hands and allowing thy perfect will to be accomplished. Please continue to bless her. And thank you that she's such a blessing to our home church and leading out in the youth and the young ones, and also in her wonderful testimonies of your intervention and moving in her life. Thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer according to thy perfect will and time. In Jesus' name, amen. So we will be holding you up in special prayer, dear sister, and please keep us informed on this particular issue. And thank you for doing so. Well, dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath, and those on the other side of the world have a wonderful new week. We look forward to being in fellowship with you all again, and keep growing in grace. Keep manifesting your love for God and telling him so, and keep looking up.
Keep looking up, my God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.